How many of you know about house fires? How many of you have ever experienced your house on fire? All right, a few. Okay. How many of you know about death? How many of you have ever experienced death with someone who is very close to you? How many of you know about Alaska? How many of you have ever experienced the grandeur and beauty of Alaska? Those three questions, I'm hoping to get you to think a little bit about the fact there's a difference between knowing something and experiencing something. And within our ministries today, I have a big burden for the fact that we have a whole lot of people who know about Christ, but who have never really experienced Christ. And there's a disconnect. We have to realize that it's more important to experience Christ than to just know about him. And I, most of you know me quite well. I've been your pastor for nearly 8 years now, and Pastor Schweitzer yesterday was really pleased to learn that in the 46 years since he left here, this church has only had 3 pastors. And of course, Pastor Whitman was a major part of that. But I'm going to outlive him here. I only have 19 years to go. And I can be the longest pastor in the history of the church. Don't count on it. But my wife is shaking her. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm the second longest already in the history of the church. So the burden is that we're producing oft times believers who I believe are genuinely saved, but they live their lives in factual knowledge, not in experiential knowledge. Now, I am not a charismatic, but you know what? Sometimes we as staid Baptists don't push experience as much as we should. It's more than just knowing facts. I am convinced I have known people who could answer any question I ask them about Jesus Christ and God and salvation, and they're still not saved. They know the facts, but they have never experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ. They know all about him. They know when he lived and what he did and how he died and that he rose from the dead. And it's all up here. But it's not being lived in their daily experiences of life. I have known about Alaska, but a couple of summers ago, or a little longer than that now, we got to go on a cruise to Alaska. And I experienced Alaska. And I want more. And praise God, I have never personally experienced a house fire. I know about house fires, but I've never experienced one. Hope I don't have to do that, but if God so willed it. I have experienced death with loved ones. You know, when I was in college, my freshman year of college, and I'm sure I've shared this story with many of you, I came in from work one afternoon and there was a note on my bulletin board on our door. Every door had a little tiny bulletin board that you could pin notes on your dorm room door. And there was a note there on my door that said, "You need to go see Dr. Cederholm, who was the president of the college." I had no idea why I was supposed to go and see Dr. Cederholm, but I quickly showered because I'd come in from work and changed and went to see Dr. Cederholm. And it was Dr. Cederholm's unpleasant responsibility to inform me that the day before, my girlfriend back in Michigan had been killed in a car accident. And they had already bought a plane ticket, and that afternoon they put me on a plane and sent me home. Well, that was a tough time. Months later, I was on choir tour, and Dr. Cederholm preached a message, and a little boy came forward just brokenhearted. And they came and asked me to come and deal with this little boy who was crying. You know what had happened in that boy's life just less than 2 weeks earlier? Both of his parents had been killed. And because I had had someone in my life that died, they asked me to pray with this little boy. You know why? Because I had experienced it. I knew a little bit, maybe not quite as much as he did, but I knew what he'd been through. And so I prayed with this little boy. You know, what I'm getting at is that if we're going to be who we ought to be in Christ today, we've got to have this experiential walk with Christ. We have to have that vital, personal relationship with Christ that doesn't come just by knowing all the facts. It doesn't come by just knowing about Christ. John 17. Turn to John 17 with me, please. When you turn to John 17, what do we have in John 17? The whole chapter is what? Christ praying. In fact, if we were to title this, we would call this the Lord's Prayer. The other we would call what? The Model Prayer. But this is the Lord's Prayer. Here we have Jesus actually praying. And for whom is he praying? Primarily, he's praying for his followers. And it also includes you and I, doesn't it? But in his prayer, look at what he says, starting out his prayer. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." I'm sure that you are aware that there are different words for the word know. There are different kinds of knowledge today. There is one kind of knowledge that's called intuitive knowledge. And that's where we get our word intuition. Intuitive knowledge is knowledge that we hope lets you know certain things without having to experience them. You just intuitively know something. And unfortunately, we sometimes align that with our conscience and intuition. But a lot of times our consciences are seared by sin, And so we don't even respond intuitively as we ought to. But there's intuitive knowledge. There is factual knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with intuitive knowledge, and there's nothing wrong with factual knowledge, but they have their limits. They are both important. But what we need when it comes to our relationship with God and with Jesus Christ is we must move from the intuitive and the factual to experiential. That's what is going to build long-term relationship. Experiencing God. Not just knowing about Him, but experiencing Him. Experiencing Jesus Christ, not just knowing about Him. And this word here is not the factual no, this is the experiential no. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. What did Paul write at one time? He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And that know is also the experience. Paul says, I want to experience Christ. Do you know, the Christian life is intended to be so much more than just a program or a study or a method or a message. It's a personal relationship. And let me just remind you today that before you can ever have that personal relationship, that experiential relationship with Jesus Christ, there is a prerequisite. It's called salvation. It's called being born again. The prerequisite to having a relationship with Jesus Christ is you must be born again. You can never have a personal relationship, a personal experiential relationship with Jesus Christ until you first of all have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the prerequisite. Because 1 Corinthians 1 says, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man can never have that relationship with God or with Jesus Christ until he has been born again. We oftentimes think about the Romans Road, and I'm just going to briefly review the Romans Road with you this morning. What is the Romans Road? It's a series of verses all found in the book of Romans that you can use in introducing someone to Jesus Christ. And so I always start with Romans 3:4. That says this, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Why do I start there? Because I don't want people to believe what I say. I want them to believe what God says. And if I can't show it to you from the Bible, don't believe it. You'll never get to heaven by what Pastor Walter tells you. You'll get to heaven by what God tells you. And so I always start with Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. And so I challenge them, let me show you from God's word. Don't you believe it unless I show it to you from God's word. Then, of course, I establish the need. And the need certainly is Romans 3:10. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God, there in Romans 3. Then Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's the need. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. All have sinned. And having established the fact that there's a need and that we're all in the same boat and we all have the same needs, then we establish the fact that there is a penalty that we are going to face that even makes the need greater. Because it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so I established the fact that there is a penalty for living in sin and having a sin nature, and it's death. And we go on to establish that that death is more than just physical death. It also involves spiritual death, and it also involves eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. So we establish the need and we establish the punishment for sin. But then we change and say, that's the bad news. Now the good news, the end of verse 23 of Romans 6 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we begin to understand that God had a plan that involved giving his son, and that's what Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we establish the fact that Christ is that one who died, that one that commendeth his love toward us, that one who paid the penalty for our sin. And then we establish very quickly that how do you appropriate that then for yourself? Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, in my sin I will someday die and spend eternity in hell. Yes, God loved me and sent Jesus Christ to die for me. Now what do I do about it? And Romans 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, verse 9, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, and so there's the need for a person to personally accept Jesus Christ and personally receive by faith Jesus Christ into their life. And so before one can ever have this experiential relationship knowledge of Christ, it has to start with being saved. It has to start with being born again. It has to start with receiving and believing and accepting the gospel. The good news that Christ died and he was buried, that he rose again. I hope today and pray today that every person in this room within the sound of my voice and every person whoever hears this on our internet by listening to a message or will know the need of trusting Jesus Christ as a Savior, and they will have done that. And I hope that somewhere you can nail down, if there's any question in your mind about am I really saved or not, don't live life that way. You can know. The book of 1 John, 35 times in that book you find the word know or knowledge. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. Doesn't want you to guess, doesn't want you to worry, wants you to know that you have eternal life. And that's the starting point of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we recognize him as God and Creator and Lord, recognize our own sin, recognize that we can't save ourselves, recognize that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin, and we repent from our sins, we confess and agree with God about our sin, and we, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. I have in a Bible, it's in a box at home, I have a Bible that in the front of the Bible, I wrote in my own terrible, terrible handwriting back then, the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior in 1956. November the 19th, 1956, I personally received, I was 8 years old. I turned 8 years old on November 18th, and I was saved on November the 19th, the day after my earthly birthday. And if you can't remember the exact date, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you know you have trusted Jesus Christ and are still now trusting him as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, I pray that you'll take care of that today. Today can be the day when you begin that relationship with Jesus Christ through faith. But that's just the starting point. That's just the beginning. I think if we were all, and I'm not asking for a response here, but if we all were totally honest with ourselves and before God today, we would say that in our lives we have often gone through times when we know there's something more we need. There's something more we need. And I hope we're there, because then that proves that the Spirit of God's working in our lives and telling us that we haven't arrived yet. And there's more that we need. And I hope your life is a regular understanding of needing to continually build that relationship. It can't ever be like the husband and wife, where the wife went to her husband one day and says, "You never tell me that you love me." And he said, "When we got married, I told you I loved you." And he says, "When I change my mind, I'll let you know." Well, you know, that's not how you build a relationship with your wife. Your wife likes to hear that you still love her. And you love her each day. You know, just having initially come to Christ is not the end. It's just the beginning. And we have to go on in our experiential walk with Christ. If you had to write one word today about describing your personal present experience with God, what one word would you use? Frustrated? Seeking? Questioning, apathetic, what one word would describe your present personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Or maybe it would be the word active, alive, earnest. What word would you use to describe your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Wanting, dead, vibrant, alive. Certainly, Jesus prayed that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He prayed that for you. He prayed that for me, that they might know him. And how do we know him? Well, we all know. Let's stay here in the book of John for a moment. Go to John 14. And we could start at the first part of John 14, and we know these familiar verses. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Factual. And then Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. So it's all about knowing. And how are we going to know? Way down verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So how are we going to have this experiential knowledge and relationship with Christ and with God? Well, the Holy Spirit's involved in being our guide and our teacher, and we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And again, because we oftentimes react against things we don't believe the present charismatic movement should be involved in, we sometimes go the opposite direction too much. And we suppress the Holy Spirit way too much. And we need to be able to discern when the Spirit is leading and guiding and teaching us. We can't quench the Spirit, and we can't ignore the Spirit, and we can't. And we oftentimes, because we don't want to be labeled with doing some things that are outside the realm of biblical teaching, we don't do the things that are within the realm of biblical teaching. But John 7, verse 17. Go back to John 7, 17. And it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And so, how are we to know? One thing is through the Spirit of God being our teacher and guide. But what's this verse talking about? Doctrine. And where do we learn doctrine? From the Word of God. And so if we are going to have this experiential relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot ignore the Spirit, and we cannot ignore the Word. You will never, ever have a vital personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you're not in God's Word. It's impossible. I don't think she would mind if I say this publicly. Jesse Chen got back from spending a week at camp recently. And just during the week after she got back, she said, can I talk to you, Pastor? And I said, sure. So she came in and she said, how do you have your personal devotions on a regular basis? At camp, she had learned about the necessity of having her personal devotions. I don't think there's a good camp anywhere that doesn't encourage its young people to have. When I went to camp, every speaker would talk about having your personal devotions. And they should encourage young people to have their personal devotions. And so Jesse was concerned about that. And so I spent a few moments explaining to her how she can do that. And I asked her if I could kind of ask her once in a while how it was going. And it was a refreshment to me to know that here was a young girl that wanted to have that, wanted to do that, was concerned about that. And you know, a lot of us here have been saved for many years, but it doesn't matter. You still can't ignore that. And so the Spirit of God and the Word of God and then, and I didn't even get a third of the way through my message this morning, but let's look at Ephesians 3:20. I guess I'll close here this morning, and we'll go on from here next week. Ephesians 3:20. Let's get into the context of this verse a little, and let's start at verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. Paul wrote For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's praying. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now he tells us what he's praying. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to, what's the next word? Know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. How are we going to know something that passeth knowledge? Well, we have to experience it. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Here's what you have to go away with this morning. Do I want to have a vital, experiential, day-by-day relationship with God through Christ? And if you want that, God is going to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Through the Spirit, through his word, through building that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope your personal relationship with Christ is not, I was saved 20 years ago, and when I change my mind, I'll let God know. What's your walk with God like today? Let's pray. Lord, how sad if there are those whose only knowledge of God is factual rather than personal and experiential. Lord, there's so much that you want us to know about yourself by having that relationship. And I'm not talking about wild, ecstatic, extra-biblical experiences. I'm talking about a wonderful, deep, personal, day-by-day knowledge of God and walking with him and enjoying his presence, enjoying his provision. Lord, I pray that that might be experienced by every one of us today. And if we haven't that experience, Father, help us to not rest until we do. Because if we seek that, we have the assurance that God's going to allow that. God's going to do his part in our relationship. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just as we close this morning, we briefly explained the gospel again. And let me explain. If you've received Christ at some time in your life, you've acknowledged Christ as your Savior, you don't need to do that again. That's something that you do once and it has continual eternal results. So you don't have to receive Christ over and over again. But if you're unsure about your relationship with Christ, you need to make sure of that. And then secondly, if you're sure that you have established that relationship through faith in Christ, how is your life now? What is that relationship like? I'm not even going to ask you to respond by raising your hand. This is a personal thing between you and God right now. But I will encourage you to do this. If your relationship is not what you want it to be, then tell God that and ask Him to work in your life to help it be what He wants it to be and what you want it to be. Father, make it so in our lives today, because You came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And we're talking about that abundant life of daily wonderful experience with our God and our Savior. So do Your work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.